Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, February 20th, 2020. Coming up this hour,
Michael Bloomberg faces heavy fire in his first debate.
We are sick and tired of billionaires like Mr. Bloomberg.
Just substitute one arrogant billionaire for another.
I don't think you look at Donald Trump and say, we need someone richer in the White House.
Details and analysis coming up, plus the latest on the coronavirus outbreak.
Democratic presidential candidates also tackle climate change, health care, and Dreamers in last night's debate. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm Rob Bushka. Coming up in sports, the Rangers win on the road, the Islanders came up short, and the NFL playoffs may get that much better.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak on Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
And good Thursday morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. futures are lower as the coronavirus outbreak weighs on sentiment. We're coming up to 6:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures down 6 points this morning. Dow futures down 55. NASDAQ futures down about 17. The DAX in Germany is down 0.1%. So is the FTSE 100. The CAC in Paris is down 0.25%. Nikkei 225 in Japan gained 0.3%, and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was down 0.2%. 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 1.54%. Yield on the 2-year, 1.40%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.2% or 11 cents at $53.40 a barrel. COMEX gold up 0.2% or $2.80 at $16.14.60 an ounce. The euro 1.0794 against the dollar. The yen 112.06. Nathan.
Karen, we start with politics and last night's Democratic presidential debate where the newest candidate, Michael Bloomberg, came under heavy fire.
We are sick and tired of billionaires like Mr. Bloomberg seeing huge expansions of their wealth.
He has stop and frisk, throwing close to 5 million young black men up against a wall.
Democrats take a huge risk if we just substitute one arrogant billionaire for another.
Let's put forward somebody who actually lives and works in a middle-class neighborhood.
I don't think you look at Donald Trump and say, we need someone richer in the White House.
Attacks on Michael Bloomberg were the pervading theme at the NBC debate. The sharpest criticism came from Elizabeth Warren.
I'd like to talk about who we're running against. A billionaire who calls women fat broads and horse-faced lesbians. And no, I'm not talking about Donald Trump. I'm talking about Mayor Bloomberg.
Bloomberg faced questions about off-color jokes made 3 decades ago, comments his campaign says he now sees as disrespectful and wrong. In turn, the former New York City mayor highlighted his support for the Me Too movement.
I have no tolerance for the kind of behavior that the Me Too movement has exposed. And anybody that does anything wrong in our company, we investigate it. And if it's appropriate, they're gone that day.
Former mayor and Senator Warren also sparred over non-disclosure agreements signed by women who used to work for Bloomberg.
When you say they signed them and they wanted them, if they wish now to speak out and tell their side of the story about what it is they allege, that's now okay with you? You're releasing them on television tonight?
Senator? No.
Is that right?
Senator, the company and somebody else, in this case, a man or a woman, or could be more than that, they decided when they made an agreement that they wanted to keep it quiet for everybody's interest. They signed the agreements, and that's what we're going to live with.
More on the debate plus analysis coming up throughout the morning here on Bloomberg Radio. And we should note Michael Bloomberg is the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP, the parent company of Bloomberg Radio.
Now we turn to the latest developments on the coronavirus outbreak. The death toll has risen past 2,100 in China, while confirmed infections slow down to less than 75,000. That's after Hubei province once again changed the way it diagnoses the illness. We get more from Bloomberg's Tom McKenzie in Beijing.
The broad picture seems to be that the rate of infections is slowing, but of course many experts outside of China saying, look, we still don't have good enough quality data, there isn't enough transparency. But it does seem that maybe you're getting this slowdown in terms of additional rates. And we know that the control measures continue to be put in place in Hubei as officials there try to ensure that they are making note of everyone who is infected. How successful that is, of course, we're going to have to continue to monitor.
And Hubei discharged 1,200 patients yesterday while confirming just 350 new cases. That's the first time discharged patients topped new cases in the province.
Outside of China, though, the outbreak continues to spread. And here with the very latest is Bloomberg's John Tucker, who joins us live. Good morning, John.
And good morning, Nathan. South Korea reporting its first death from the virus. Infections there more than doubled to 82. And the Centers for Disease Control is warning of travel to Hong Kong after a second fatality there from the illness. And Japan confirms two people on the cruise ship off its coast died from the virus. That ship has the most infections outside of China, with more than 600 confirmed cases. I'm John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
John, thank you. Markets in Asia remain jittery over the outbreak, and Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with the details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Karen. The Nikkei 225 closed higher in Tokyo by a third of 1%. That was a gain of just 78 points after earlier being up more than 400 points before news of those cruise ship deaths broke. South Korea announced its number of coronavirus cases has basically doubled. That saw the KOSPI close lower by 0.7%, and the won continued to be sold off. The coronavirus fears saw the dollar hit a four-month high, ensuring weakness across most Asian currencies. The offshore yuan trading at its lowest level since December, the Singapore dollar at a three-year low, and the Aussie dollar falling to levels not seen since the global financial crisis. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Juliet, thanks. Turning to corporate news now, UBS is out with a big announcement. The Swiss bank is naming Ralph Hamers of ING its next CEO. He'll replace Sergio Ermotti at UBS on November 1st. We get more from Bloomberg's Marian Halftermeyer in Zurich.
This is definitely an odd pick, and I think it surprised many in Zurich. He's definitely not a natural pick, but he has a few key talents that would be of interest to UBS. His knack for cost-cutting, as well as being this digital fintech type of banker.
Hamers is a relative outsider in the world of Swiss wealth management, but UBS investors are greeting the news with open arms. Shares are up more than 2.5% in Zurich.
And S&P futures are lower, down 6 points. Dow futures down 51. NASDAQ futures down about 17. The DAX in Germany is down 0.1%. And the 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 1.54%. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It's 6:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Michael?
Thank you very much, Nathan. Only six 2020 hopefuls made the cut for the Democratic presidential debate last night in Las Vegas. Candidates used their time to call out their opponents on their experience, policies, and prior records, but there were other topics discussed as well during the NBC debate. Democratic presidential candidate Pete Buttigieg says the time is now to act on climate change.
It's not 2050. It's not 2040. It's not 2030. It's 2020. Because if we don't elect a president who actually believes in climate science now, we will never meet any of the other scientific or policy deadlines that we need to.
Meanwhile, Mike Bloomberg says he is the best option for the Democratic Party this November.
I'm a New Yorker. I know how to take on an arrogant con man like Donald Trump that comes from New York.
Minnesota Senator and Democratic presidential candidate Amy Klobuchar says there is a simple way to protect the Dreamers.
To win, to beat Donald Trump. The best way to protect the Dreamers is to have a new president.
Senator Sanders also says he will not take away health care from union members and others. And we should mention Michael Bloomberg is the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP, the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. Meanwhile, President Trump held a campaign rally event of his own in Arizona. He reminded the crowd in Phoenix of his success in 2016 and took shots at Senator Elizabeth Warren's Native American heritage claim.
You know, I came up with the name Pocahontas too early. But fortunately, she's self-destructed anyway. Did you ever see a phony like that? She's a phony.
Today is sentencing day for Roger Stone. Bloomberg's Bob Moon reports the judge in the case has come under pressure from President Trump about his former confidant.
Stone failed to persuade the judge to delay the sentencing while he seeks a new trial, but she did say he wouldn't have to start serving his sentence until she rules on his new trial request. When President Trump was asked this week if he thought his longtime confidant would go to jail today, he sidestepped the idea of a pardon, but teased about his thinking.
I think Roger Stone's been treated unfairly.
Then again, Trump reminded reporters that's nothing new.
I think a lot of people have been treated very unfairly.
And while Attorney General William Barr asked Trump to stay out of what should be Justice Department business, White House spokesman Hogan Gidley has kept on pushing back. back.
The president can make his opinion known. He has a right to do that and does so on a routine basis.
Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
11 people were killed in shooting incidents last night in a German town near Frankfurt in what Bild newspaper says may have been a right-wing extremist attack. Global News 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. Just before 6:10 on Wall Street, time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update with Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. The Rangers got a wake-up call in Chicago that came just in time.
Here's Panarin with one over while Box got tripped up and let a shot go that didn't have much on it. And then Panarin scores! What a shot!
NBCSN on the call. Panarin's goal, part of a five-goal period as the Rangers rallied to bury the Blackhawks 6-3. It's the 30th for Panarin. Chris Kreider added his 24th. Rangers have won 7 of 10, yet still 6 points out of the final playoff spot. Islanders not as fortunate in Denver, falling 3-1 to the Avalanche, who led throughout. In fact, Brock Nelson kept the Isles from getting shut out with just over 2 minutes to play. The Islanders are in a three-way tie for the final playoff spot with the Hurricanes and Blue Jackets. Are you ready for more football? The NFL has a proposal on the table that'll include one extra team per conference for a total of 7. Only the top seed would get an opening round bye. The league has had a 12-team playoff format since 1990. The league cites it's a win-win as it'll lead to more fan interest later in the year and more playoff bonuses for 2 other teams. It could start as early as this season. It's back to work in the NBA. Second half picks up tonight. A tall order for the Nets. They visit the Sixers, a 9-point favorite. They own the best home record in the league, 25-2. Tip-off is at 8. In Big East basketball, Seton Hall edge Butler, Villanova crushed DePaul, and number 6 Duke upset by 22 at NC State. Baseball, first it was Aaron Judge, now Giancarlo Stanton sounded off about the Astros sign-stealing scandal, said he'd hit 80 home runs if he knew what pitches were coming. Spring training game starts Saturday. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
All right, Rob, thank you. What's coming on Wall Street may be a lower open. S&P futures are down 6 points right now. Dow futures lower by 50. NASDAQ futures down 17 points. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And Bloomberg Daybreak is brought to you by Command Financial. Business is constantly evolving. Is your financial printer staying ahead of the curve? Learn how Command Financial is evolving, not only with the times, but with your business requirements. Visit CommandFinancial.com today.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow, and U.S. stock index futures are lower this morning, with S&P futures down 4.5 points, Dow futures down 40, NASDAQ futures down 15. The DAX in Germany is little changed. 10-year Treasury up 7/32, yield 1.54%, and the yield on the 2-year 1.40%. NYMEX crude oil is down 0.1% or 6 cents at $53.23 a barrel, and COMEX gold up 0.2% or $2.50 at $16.14.20 an ounce. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, 11 people are dead, including the suspected gunman in Hanau, Germany, after a mass shooting. Reports indicate he may have had a far-right motive. The coronavirus death toll continues to climb. Bloomberg's John Tucker has more in this live report.
And Michael, the global death toll has climbed to over 2,100 in Hubei province, the center of the outbreak. The number of confirmed cases actually dropped for the first time after the province once again changed the way it diagnoses the illnesses. In the meantime, South Korea reported its first fatality from the outbreak after cases there doubled overnight. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak. Michael.
Thank you, sir. In the NHL, the Rangers won. The Islanders lost. The Bruins won in overtime. Global News, 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. Michael Barr, this is Bloomberg. Nathan.
Michael, thank you. Almost 6:19 on Wall Street now, live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. This is Bloomberg Daybreak. It's just before 3:19 in Las Vegas, where the Democrats held their 9th presidential debate last night and turned their attention from President Trump to the newest entrant in the race.
Mike Bloomberg owns more wealth than the bottom 125 million Americans.
A billionaire who calls women fat broads and horse-faced lesbians.
He has not managed his city very, very well when he was there.
One candidate who wants to burn this party down and another candidate who wants to buy this party out.
The campaign memo from Mayor Bloomberg said this morning that the only way that we get a nominee is if we step aside for him.
I'm a New Yorker. I know how to take on an arrogant con man like Donald Trump that comes from New York.
And Bloomberg Radio and Television Chief Washington Correspondent Kevin Cirilli joins us live now from Las Vegas this morning after, or perhaps still night of, for Kevin. Good morning, Kevin. What are some of your key takeaways from last night?
Happy middle of the night, I think I suppose. Here in Las Vegas. Three big takeaways. First and foremost, former New York City Mayor Michael Bloomberg taking it from every single candidate on that stage. They questioned his policies. They questioned his demeanor. And it was a blistering, at times, blistering attack of Bloomberg. The second point that I would make is that Senator Bernie Sanders, the independent senator from Vermont who caucuses with the Democrats, largely remaining unscathed despite taking some onslaught himself. I spoke with several of his surrogates in the spin room, and they were incredibly confident at the upcoming performance of his that it will be in Nevada on Saturday. That's when the Nevada caucus is. And that's the third point that I would make. I'm not sure anything last night changed the trajectory or the dynamics of the race in the sense that Sanders is still anticipated to win the Nevada caucus. And in private conversations with folks on his campaign, what they'll say privately is that even if he doesn't reach the delegate threshold, that technical number that they'll need, if he ends up with the most delegates, it's going to be incredibly difficult for anyone really to stop him, simply because he'll have continued to have won contests.
Well, let's hear from one of the campaign surrogates you spoke with last night in the spin room, the national co-chair for Bernie Sanders, Nina Turner, talking about the Vermont senator's frontrunner status. Let's listen to a little bit of that conversation now.
When you look at the polls, assuming that Senator Sanders wins Nevada, has a strong showing in Super Tuesday, I looked at a California poll, he's leading. If he has the most delegates, not necessarily the threshold, but the most delegates, is this nomination his?
We still got more states to go. I don't want to, you know, I'm not going to do what people did in 2016, calling races before we even get to states. I was in California when the media called the race. Senator has the momentum, and we're going to keep doing the work that is necessary to earn the vote, not buy it. Not say that black people are going to vote for me because of my proximity to the first African-American president, but to go state by state and show by example of why Senator Bernie Sanders should be the next president or be the nominee and then by extension be the next president of the United States of America. We're not going to take any state for granted.
Some pointed comments there from Sanders campaign national co-chair Nina Turner, Kevin. Any other comments from the spin room stand out for you last night?
Well, Elizabeth Warren. I mean, Senator Elizabeth Warren, the Democrat from Massachusetts, who I've covered her for close to a decade, and her performance last night at the debate was reminiscent of when she questions bank CEOs in Senate Banking Committee hearings. And in talking with surrogates to her campaign, including former HUD Secretary Castro, I mean, it was telling that they feel that, again, no one's dropping out of this race. And I said this yesterday, and I'll say it, I think it really bears repeating. This notion that this is a two-person race or even a three-person race is just not being reciprocated by any of the other campaigns.
Yeah, it makes it sound as though what we're hearing from a lot of analysts, Kevin, that this is going to be a long slog into Milwaukee in July, could continue here. But we've, you know, seen a lot of attention focused on Warren this morning after. She's performed well in debates in the past, yet her campaign has fallen by the wayside somewhat. Was last night enough to bounce her back?
So here's what I would say. I hear what you're saying, Nathan, and you're absolutely correct in the sense that there are analysts who are saying that this is going to be a slugfest. When you talk to Senator Elizabeth Warren's campaign, and I'll attribute everything I say,
sure,
when you talk to Elizabeth Warren's campaign, what they will say is that she's polling at the same numbers as Bloomberg. She's polling at the same numbers as Buttigieg in some states. And so, there was this frustration from her campaign going into last night that, and you heard that on the debate stage from Senator Klobuchar as well, there was this frustration that these other candidates were being written off with the emergence of another candidate on the stage. Whether or not that changes next week at the debate in South Carolina, you know, it can get your popcorn out because it's going to continue.
For sure. Kevin Cirilli, Bloomberg Radio and Television Chief Washington Correspondent. We know you'll be on the trail throughout all the way into the convention and the general election in November. And we should mention Michael Bloomberg, who competed at last night's debate, is the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg Radio parent, Bloomberg LP. Futures pointing to a lower open on Wall Street this morning. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. And it is brought to you by Land Rover. The Own the Adventure sales event is happening now until March 31st. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 99.1 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 6:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 3 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. We saw a fiery debate from Democratic presidential contenders last night in Las Vegas. Highlights and details coming up shortly in world and national news. But first, global stocks are lower as concerns over the coronavirus continue to weigh on markets. S&P futures are down about 5 points this morning, while the Europe Stock 600 is down 0.3%. Treasury yields are falling, with the yield on the 10-year at 1.54%.
Two people from a quarantined cruise ship in Japan have died from the virus. Total cases aboard that vessel now top 600. That's the most infections outside of China. We get more from Bloomberg Daybreak Asia anchor Brian Curtis in Hong Kong.
The fatalities, both Japanese nationals in their 80s with pre-existing conditions, according to NHK. In the meantime, China again changed its method for counting infections, now classifying confirmed or suspected cases. In the latest, Hubei reports 349 new cases only, but 880 suspected. Some 1,209 people were discharged from hospital, the second day in which the number of sick people declined. In Hong Kong, Brian Curtis, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Brian, thank you. Meantime, outside of China, the outbreak continues to spread. Bloomberg's John Tucker joins us live with the very latest. Good morning, John.
And Karen, South Korea reporting its first death for the virus. Infections there more than doubled overnight to 82. The Centers for Disease Control is warning of travel to Hong Kong after a second person there died from the illness. Still, the total fatalities outside of China remains modest, relatively, with 10 deaths outside the mainland. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, John, thanks. Turning to corporate news now, we have a big announcement from UBS. The Swiss bank is naming Ralph Hamers of ING as its next CEO. We get more from Bloomberg's Marion Hoftermeyer in Zurich.
He's definitely not a natural pick, but he has a few key talents, his knack for cost cutting, as well as being this digital fintech type of banker, which is one of the challenges facing banks these days. So UBS could definitely benefit from his expertise in sort of launching new digital front strategy.
Hamers will replace Sergio Ermotti starting November 1st, and shares of UBS are up more than 2.5% in Zurich.
S&P futures are lower this morning, down about 4 points. Dow futures down 33. NASDAQ futures down 13. The 10-year Treasury up 6/32, yield 1.54%. And the yield on the 2-year, 1.40%. NYMEX crude oil is up 0.3% or 16 cents at $53.45 a barrel. And COMEX gold is up 0.2% at $16.15.20 an ounce. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. And this is Bloomberg.
All right, thanks, Karen. 6:33 on Wall Street, and this news update is brought to you by Land Rover. The Own the Adventure sales event is happening now until March 31st. Visit your tri-state area Land Rover retailer for details on the new Discovery Sport. Land Rover, above and beyond. Here's Michael Barr.
Thank you very much, Nathan. Michael Bloomberg came under fire in a spirited Democratic debate last night. On the debate stage in Las Vegas, his Democratic rivals tore into his record to make the case that he isn't fit for the task. During the event on NBC, Elizabeth Warren compared him to President Donald Trump and his treatment of women, and added this.
I'll support whoever the Democratic nominee is, but understand this. Democrats take a huge risk if we just substitute one arrogant billionaire for another.
Former Vice President Joe Biden had a message for Bloomberg about former employees and their non-disclosure agreements.
It's easy. All the mayor has to do is say, you are released from the non-disclosure agreement. Period. We talk about transparency here.
Bernie Sanders attacked the former New York mayor over his attitude toward minorities.
Mr. Bloomberg had policies in New York City of stop and frisk, which went after African-American and Latino people in an outrageous way. That is not a way you're going to grow voter turnout.
Meanwhile, Bloomberg shot back at Sanders.
I don't think there's any chance of the senator beating President Trump. You don't start out by saying, I've got 160 million people. I'm going to take away the insurance plan that they love.
And we should mention Michael Bloomberg is the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP, the parent company of Bloomberg Radio. Meanwhile, President Trump spoke to a crowd in Arizona last night. The president in Phoenix took a swipe at the Democratic presidential candidates, including Mike Bloomberg and Bernie Sanders.
They just came out with a poll a little while ago. Mini Mike was at 15 and Crazy Bernie was at 31. That's a lot. And Mini Mike just spent $500 million. But the DNC is going to take it away from Bernie again. And that's okay, because we don't care who the hell it is. We're going to win. We're going to win. We have to.
President Trump says he'll appoint Rick Grenell, the current U.S. ambassador to Germany, to be the next acting director of national intelligence. Grenell is a Trump loyalist who was nominated to be ambassador to Germany in 2017 after having served as spokesman for the U.S. mission to the United Nations in the early 2000s. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts from more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's almost 6:36 on Wall Street. Now time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Good morning, Rob Buschka.
Good morning, Nathan. Better late than never, applying to the Rangers Wednesday in Chicago, scoring five times in the third to rally for a 6-3 win. Center Ryan Strome.
We didn't have a great first 40, but we rallied and we found a way to get a few goals and we found a way to win. And I think our team's come a long way in the last three, 4 weeks, and in a game we might not have won a month or two ago.
Rangers have won 7 of 10. They need some help, though. They're 6 out of the final playoff spot. Islanders were buried early in Colorado, losing 3-1 to the Avalanche. Brock Nelson scored with just over 2 minutes to play to avoid the shutout. New York's in a three-way tie for the final playoff spot with Columbus and Carolina. NFL fans have another reason to be optimistic in Week 17. The league is mulling a proposal that would add two additional playoff teams, one per conference. Only the number one seed would have an opening round bye. The league states two extra teams would earn playoff bonuses. Networks would get two extra games for the revenue, and fan interest would increase, with their team still having a shot at the postseason. The union's 11 executive committee members, many of whom were opposed to a 17-game season just a couple of weeks ago, they would have to vote to recommend this deal to the 32-team reps for it to move forward. It could be in effect as early as this season. NBA second half starts tonight. Brooklyn's in Philly, and despite the league's best record at home, 25-2, Sixers coach Brett Brown isn't taking the Nets lightly.
They always give us trouble. You know, like, they got a bunch of live ball players that can just get their shots all by themselves. You know, they play at a pace that, if you're not careful, can be punishing.
Philadelphia is a 9-point favorite. Tip-off is at 8. College hoops, Big East wins for Seton Hall and Villanova, and 6th-ranked Duke lost by 22 at NC State. That's your NBC Bloomberg Sports Update. Nathan?
Thanks, Rob. It's 6:37 on Wall Street.
The following commentary is from Bloomberg Opinion.
U.S. states are stepping in to kill harmful mergers. I'm Tara LaChapelle, a columnist for Bloomberg Opinion. The Anything Goes world of mega mergers under President Trump has encountered new resistance, with U.S. states emerging as a powerful antitrust backstop. Ordinarily, U.S. mergers would be scrutinized by the Department of Justice or the FCC, but after both approved T-Mobile's controversial takeover of Sprint, more than a dozen state attorneys general from around the country sued to block the deal. The states ultimately lost in court last week, handing a victory to the wireless carriers, but the group's persistence is sure to unnerve other deal-hungry CEOs. The threat of similar legal action and months of proceedings might be enough to cause some companies to think twice before buying a close competitor. I'm Tara LaChapelle. For more Bloomberg Opinion, please go to Bloomberg.com/opinion or OPINGO on the Bloomberg terminal.
This has been Bloomberg Opinion.
You can hear Bloomberg Opinion commentaries every weekday at this time, and terminal customers can read more at OPINGO. Just before 6:39 on Wall Street, it's time for the Bloomberg Green Report. Here's Bob Moon.
China's coronavirus and global warming. There is a link. One of the deadliest epidemics in decades has dented industrial activity in China, and it turns out that has cut carbon dioxide emissions by about 100 million metric tons, close to what Chile emits in a year. A new analysis by the climate nonprofit Carbon Brief found the widespread impact of the virus, including travel restrictions, longer holidays, and lower economic activity, means that neither industrial output nor energy demand has recovered from the usual lull around the Chinese New Year. Compared to the same period in 2019, China emitted 400 million metric tons of carbon dioxide. This year's figure is likely closer to 300 million metric tons. Coal consumption also has yet to recover from its usual holiday breather. A month before the Lunar New Year, burning of the dirtiest fossil fuel was in line with previous year's rates. Since then, it's fallen to a four-year low, according to the analysis. That's the Bloomberg Green Business Report. I'm Bob Moon.
All right, thanks, Bob. Coming up today, we get earnings from Norwegian Cruise Line as the coronavirus outbreak hurts demand for cruise bookings. Here with more is Bloomberg's Larry Kofsky.
Unlike rivals Carnival and Royal Caribbean, Norwegian has relatively low exposure to China, according to analysts at Berenberg. Still, the firm says Norwegian can't completely escape the virus impact on the global cruise industry due to widespread media coverage. Analysts surveyed by Bloomberg are forecasting a quarterly profit of 70 cents a share, a penny above Norwegian's own guidance. Sales have seen rising 3.3% from a year ago, thanks in part to a 3.6% increase in capacity. Larry Kofsky, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Larry, thanks. Finally, Victoria's Secret is planning to go private. Bloomberg News has learned L Brands is near a deal to sell control of the lingerie chain to private equity firm Sycamore Partners in a deal that would value Victoria's Secret around $1.1 billion. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. The Bloomberg NBC Sports Report is brought to you by BMW. Test drive a BMW at your Tri-State BMW Center and receive exceptional offers on a new BMW. Visit them at tristatebmw.com. BMW, the ultimate driving machine.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business App, and on Quick Take by Bloomberg. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. It is 6:47 on Wall Street. Futures are lower this morning. We go to the First Word breaking news desk for today's morning call. Here's Bailey Lipschultz. Bailey, good morning.
And good morning, Karen. As you said, stocks are edging lower after the latest batch of earnings. The Dow is down 40 points, S&P lower by 4, with the NASDAQ off 13 points. U.S. 10-year yield is at 1.54%. Shanghai rose 1.8% overnight, and European markets are broadly trading lower, led by losses in Spain. Back in the U.S. on the economic front, at 8:30, initial jobless claims in Philly business outlook, and at 10 o'clock, the leading index. After earnings, Zillow was moving higher after fourth quarter results beat estimates. Boston Beer's 2020 guidance missed expectations, and Synopsys' first quarter earnings top Wall Street's targets. Regarding deals, the Japanese owner of 7-Eleven is said to be in talks to acquire Marathon Speedway for about $22 billion, and Dow Jones reported that Victoria's Secret will go private for $1.1 billion. In other news, Apple is considering loosening restrictions on rival iPhone and music apps. Wrapping things up, AMD cut to equal weight at Wells Fargo. Salesforce's price target was raised to a street-high 230 at RBC, and Anheuser-Busch was cut to underweight over at JP Morgan. Live from the First Word Breaking News Desk, I'm Bailey Lipschultz. Karen?
All right, Bailey, thank you. And to hear live breaking news over your Bloomberg, type Squawk on your terminal, S-Q-U-A-W-K. And that's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now with more on what's going on around the world, here's Michael Barr. Michael.
Karen, thank you very much. Police in New Orleans say a woman was struck and killed by a parade float as the city celebrated Mardi Gras. News outlets report witnesses say the woman tried to cross between a tandem float, which has two sections that are connected in the middle. She reportedly tripped over the hitch connecting the two sections and was run over by the back half of the float. The coronavirus death continues to climb in toll. The Bloomberg John Tucker has more in this VOT Live report.
And Michael, the global death toll has climbed to over 2,100. But in Hubei province, that's the center of the outbreak, the number of confirmed cases actually dropped for the first time. That's after the province once again changed the way it diagnoses the illness. Meantime, South Korea reported its first fatality from the outbreak after cases there doubled overnight. Japan confirmed two deaths from a quarantine cruise ship, and Iran reported three more cases a day after confirming two people had died from the outbreak. John Tucker, Bloomberg Daybreak. Michael.
John, thank you very much, sir. In the NHL, the Rangers won, the Islanders lost, the Bruins won in overtime. The NBA resumes tonight after the All-Star break. There's a new proposal from the NFL to add two more teams to the playoff format. The plan calls for seven teams from each conference to make the postseason, and only the top seeds would receive byes. Global news 24 hours a day on air and on Quick Take by Bloomberg, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios. We're at 6:50 on Wall Street, and it is the morning after possibly the most fierce debate yet for the Democrats. Running for president this year, the candidate on the receiving end of the vast majority of the attacks was Michael Bloomberg.
Mr. Bloomberg had policies in New York City of stop and frisk.
The policy was abhorrent, and it was, in fact, a violation of every right people have.
He has gotten some number of women, dozens, who knows, to sign non-disclosure agreements.
Bernie Sanders and Mike Bloomberg, the two most polarizing figures on this stage.
I think it's great you got a lot of money, but I think you've got to come forward with your tax returns.
The number of pages will probably be in the thousands of pages. I can't go to TurboTax.
And Michael Bloomberg says he plans to release those tax returns in a few weeks. He says they're currently being prepared as fast as he can do it. For more on the debate, we welcome in Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments. Good morning, Greg. The headline on Bloomberg.com reads as follows. Bloomberg hammered, Warren shines, and Sanders dodges trouble. Does that basically sum up your takeaway as well?
I think so, Nathan. You've got to say, in my opinion at least, that the big takeaway was that Bernie Sanders went into this as the front runner, and he left as the front runner. And if he doesn't stumble next Tuesday in the next debate, and if he wins Nevada, which I think is very likely this weekend, he's going to head into Super Tuesday, March 3rd, as clearly the front runner.
Where does that leave, then, the race for second place?
Well, I think that you've got to say Bloomberg, by nature of his resources, will still be okay, but he had a god-awful first hour last night. I thought his second hour wasn't bad. He talked policy, and he's very good on that. You could be charitable and say he had a lot of rust, and he wasn't quite prepared for this, but, you know, second place is now a little more questionable. I think that Elizabeth Warren helped herself last night.
Let's talk a little bit more about Elizabeth Warren, because she has gotten a lot of the attention following this debate for some very sharp moments, particularly pointed at the former New York City mayor. Does this vault her back into a stronger position?
I think it keeps her alive to fight well past Super Tuesday. And, you know, I got to say, the other big takeaway is that this is increasingly looking like it could go right to Milwaukee in mid-July at the convention. And I'm not so sure there's going to be someone arriving there with a majority of delegates. Someone will have a plurality. But I think we could have a contested convention, and I wouldn't even rule out a brokered convention that could last several ballots.
Are you thinking a contested convention among the top four that we've mentioned so far, Sanders, Bloomberg, Biden, and Warren, or does it still include Pete Buttigieg and Amy Klobuchar?
Buttigieg has money, but I think he's faded a bit. I would see maybe three or four people going to Milwaukee thinking that they have a chance. I mean, if this dragged on and on, could the nearly unthinkable happen? Could they look at someone who hadn't run? Could they maybe pick somebody as a compromise candidate? There's a rich history in the last century or so of that happening in the U.S. In fact, in 1924, there were 103 ballots. The convention lasted over 2 weeks. I wouldn't predict that now, but I think Milwaukee's going to be really interesting.
Yeah, I was going to say that it's been a long time since we've seen a brokered convention of that sort in the modern era. It's been almost unheard of. So what would a brokered convention mean for the Democratic Party and the prospects heading into the general election to face President Trump?
Yeah, to be very blunt, this would mean good things for Trump. I think if there is a brokered convention, one faction or the other will go home disappointed. If Bernie is denied the nomination, I think a lot of his supporters would stay at home in November. If, on the other hand, Bernie wins, I think a lot of moderates, people who like Bloomberg, people who like Biden, would be very dissatisfied. So that's the great advantage for Trump, that you could get a severe rift among the Democrats that would not heal by November.
Well, and I mean, we're seeing almost that rift within the centrist race between, among Biden and Buttigieg and now Michael Bloomberg. I mean, what is the prospect of a fracturing there?
I think you could see it there as well. Who was it? Obama said, and many have said, I say this frequently, the Democrats have formed a circular firing squad. And I think this does not do them any good. I think, again, it helps Trump. The other thing you've got to worry about is that if Bernie is the nominee, a lot of Democrats are worried about Senate races, House races, gubernatorial races. He could drag the whole ticket down.
What kind of pressure, then, does that put on people who might have qualms about a Sanders nomination to coalesce around someone, whether it's a Michael Bloomberg with all his resources or, someone who's been in the race quite a bit longer?
It's funny, Nathan. I've talked to people in the last few days, Democrats, who say, look, if we're going to lose to Trump anyway, let's go with the real deal. Let's go with someone like Bernie, who, of course, has a very radical agenda. I don't necessarily agree with that reasoning, but I think a lot of people may be deciding that he could beat Trump. I don't think he could, but I think a lot of Democrats think that in a debate, in a one-on-one, Bernie could hold his own.
Well, as far as Michael Bloomberg's performance, you mentioned that he did a lot better in the second hour than the first. What does that mean potentially for his prospects going forward in a muddled Democratic presidential race?
Well, I think over the weekend, he's got to watch the tapes. He's got to rehearse more. He's got to prepare himself for another onslaught. I think he was caught off guard in the first hour. But again, when you get to policy issues, he's very good.
Is Joe Biden still a viable candidate?
You know, I think he still has a pulse rate. He showed energy last night, which is crucial because he hasn't frequently. He was okay, but you look at the Biden numbers, you look at the upcoming primaries, he's not going to do well this weekend in Nevada. He'll probably narrowly win South Carolina. But the big story on Super Tuesday, March 3rd, I think will be the biggest prize of all. That's California, and I think California is going to be won easily by Bernie.
That's interesting because the Biden campaign has put a lot of its prospects on doing well in Nevada and South Carolina. If, as you're suggesting, he does not do well in our last few seconds here, does that pretty much put him out of the race?
You would think so, and I think the major reason why, Nathan, is money. If Biden has two more disappointing results, his fundraising is going to dry up.
Greg Valliere, Chief U.S. Policy Strategist at AGF Investments. Always good getting your insights. Thanks again for being with us this morning on Bloomberg Daybreak. The morning after the ninth Democratic presidential debate aired last night on NBC. And we should mention that Michael Bloomberg, candidate for the Democratic presidential nomination, is the founder and majority owner of Bloomberg LP, the parent company, I should say, of Bloomberg Radio. Looking at the markets ahead of the open, S&P futures are lower by 7.5 points. Dow futures down 64. NASDAQ futures lower by 25 points. We will have more analysis of the markets and the debate last night on Bloomberg Surveillance straight ahead with Tom Keen, Jonathan Farrow, and Lisa Abramowitz. For Karen Moscow, I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg.